Hi, welcome to the Word Sower Podcast, a podcast where we get personal with God's Word, discovering how it's relevant and alive today, and how we can respond. I'm Robin.
And I'm Mary. In each episode, we read scripture, ask questions, and discuss how God's Word has impacted us. So don't miss out on the insights, stories, and laughter as we learn together about what God is saying to each one of us and find encouragement to share it with others. Follow the Word Sower Podcast for a dose of good news.
Hey, Mary.
Hey, Robin.
I'm so glad that we're going to talk about Psalm 23 today.
We're full disclosure, we're recording this before Thanksgiving. We hope that all of you have had a blessed and safe Thanksgiving. We haven't had our Thanksgiving yet, but every day is Thanksgiving when we're in the family of God, right?
That's right. And this, you know, Mary, I just love the Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is our perfect shepherd. And, you know, David, he was a shepherd boy in Israel. And, you know, he led his sheep and he rescued them from the bear and the lion. I mean, whatever.
That's right.
He learned his warrior king stuff in his everyday role as a shepherd, and his sheep were refreshed by the green meadows and the quiet streams. But when the sheep rebelled or went their own way or went rogue, he went after that one and left the 99 to get him. I mean, he's amazing, and he did write this psalm.
God said that David was a man after his own heart. And we know that he's like the shortest, youngest member of his family and never looked like he was going to be a king, but God looked on the inside, whereas we look on the outside. And not only does his sheep enjoy his managerial skills, but also his music, right?
He's
a poet and a musician.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of these psalms. Mm-hmm. He wrote a majority of them. I think there are a few other guys like Asaph and Moses wrote a few, and there's some anonymous ones. But the Lord is the shepherd of his people. Will you read this one for us?
Sure. I'm going to read, we're going to read in the New King James Version, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. When I think of this psalm, I just love it. There's just so much imagery. But, you know, on the sixth verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I heard about this guy had two dogs. One was goodness and mercy, and they followed him.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, David was a shepherd, and, you know, Jesus, he said he was the good shepherd, you know, so, like, he's the big deal, and I think that's, you know, that's what we're talking about. He says the Lord, Yahweh, it's the L-O-R-D with the small caps, Yahweh is my shepherd. He would have called him Adonai.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have used the proper name, Yahweh, because I guess it's too sacred, right?
Yeah.
For them to speak or to write. So in their text, they write Adonai, and in English, we write that small caps Lord. And so, you know, that's a very intimate name. You know, I am that I am is my shepherd. And he says, I shall not want. There's nothing that my life is going to lack. You know, so you were talking about last week, you were talking about all the things that you had in your life, all the people that you have in your life. You know, we have so much, so many blessings, you know, sleeping under a safe roof. We have, you know, we have indoor plumbing, thanks be to God. We have a family who cares for us. We have a God who provides and understands us.
Children who are healthy.
Yes. And, you know, we're blessed to be mothers, to have children.
And grandchildren.
Yeah. And, but, you know, people come and go. Health comes and goes. Finances come and go. I went from living at the country club one time in my life to not really having a home. I didn't know where I was going to live, but not one night did I sleep under the stars. You know, I had family and friends looking out for me. And in fact, my pastor, this is how I know my pastor loves me. When my second husband left and he left $40 on the bureau and no bills paid and no answers and no direction. I was at the end of myself in tears. I just was so forlorn. And I went home to my mom and dad's and I crawled into bed and just pulled the covers over my head. And my mom, she came to me with the telephone and she said, "Your pastor is on the phone." And he didn't understand.
Wow.
He thought that I had left my husband. And he called to correct me, you know, in love and say, "Hey,
what,
that's
a loving
not okay.
Pastor."
He said, "You need to come home." And I said, "Well, Gary Combs," I said, "I don't think I have a home to come to because this is what's going on." And he said, "I have two or three spare bedrooms upstairs. You have a home now. Come home."
Did you go?
No, thank goodness I did. Thanks good to God I did not have to live at my pastor's house.
But that was
my
so
housing. My housing came through. Yeah, I took a little duplex and a little two bedroom duplex, and I was grateful for it. And so yeah, I do thank God that I belong to a family.
Your shepherd looked after you.
Yes. My little under shepherd.
Yeah.
Just like David was a little under shepherd.
Yeah.
And Jesus is our good shepherd. He's the best.
Good analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I shall not want, you know, and when I went through that season of poverty, I learned to sit in line and get my food card and, because we do live in a great country where we take care of poor people. I've lived in other countries where if you didn't have money, you didn't have any health care. If you didn't have money, you probably didn't have anything to eat. And so we do live in a great and wonderful country, and I'm grateful for that. But, I was blessed to have something to eat and a place to sleep. You know, to lie down in green pastures and sit beside still waters.
You know, Mary, when we go through things, and we all do, I mean, this year I know I've been through some things, so overall it's been a good year. But when I'm down and out, He's the one who restores our soul. Mm-hmm. I mean, He lets us lie down in those green pastures and leads us beside the still waters, mm-hmm. just like a shepherd would lead his sheep in the green pastures and the still waters so they could drink the water and they could lie down and maybe feed on the grass. I don't know, but
we have to, I want everybody to hear this. You
okay.
talked about the inner imagery. Israel is mostly rock.
That's
Israel
true.
Israel is mostly rock.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, there are places like what he's describing here, but, you know, that's not the whole experience. And so, you know, your shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus will lead you to that green pasture to lie down. He will lead you to a still water. But the Mediterranean is not still, I'll tell you that. And a lot of, you know, I've been to Israel, and a lot of that, it's arid, it's rocky, It's, you carry water. We carry water with us, you know, and David may have carried water with him, but he certainly couldn't have carried water for his flock. He had to, they were walking. So, you know, that to me, what that speaks of is, you know, we're going to go through hard times. Life shows up, life visits. I thought when I became a Christian, oh, I'm ready to be comfortable. I'm ready not to have bad times anymore. Life is about to get good because I had really made a mess out of my life. And my life absolutely improved once I trust Jesus to guide me, to shepherd me. But that doesn't mean that, you know, people don't leave. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, the doctor will never, you know, give a diagnosis. You know, that some things don't happen. It's, you know, the economy, and we all experienced globally in 2020, we experienced some level of hiccup to disaster.
Exactly.
And in our finances, our ability to go to work. It was a really hard time.
Yeah, and you were a nurse with all those COVID patients now, in the hospital.
Yeah, we didn't just have work. We had too much work. We didn't have enough workers. So it was rough. It was very rough. But, you know, we got through, and that's, you know, so that's an important thing to remember is that if you find yourself in an arid season, it doesn't mean that God has left you. It doesn't mean that he likes you less. You're not doing anything wrong. That's a human experience. And we have a shepherd who knows how to go through those arid, rocky terrain.
Absolutely.
And trust that this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. My father recently passed away. My father mm-hmm. died, and you know anybody who's gone through that, like you know anybody out there, you will go through times of, you know, just absolutely feeling like nobody understands me. I'm alone, because we all grieve differently and we all have different experience. So, you know, my husband, my brother, my mm-hmm. friends, my teacher, I'm in a microbiology class, and she understands. I've been able to talk to her, and she's so sweet. But, you know, three times, God bless her, three times when I went to class on Monday, she said, "Hey, did everybody have a good weekend?" And it was like, no. and I thought, okay, I got through it. And then again, well, I hope everybody had a good weekend. And it kept coming and it kept coming. She was speaking to the crowd and not to me. And that's just a human experience where, you know, sometimes we go through things and we feel sad or alone. And God knows right where you are, and he is with you. And this too shall pass. It's not going to always be a time of sorrow. It's not always going to be a time to grieve.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true.
Like in Ecclesiastes, sometimes it's a time to dance, and sometimes it's a time to mourn.
Yes.
And this too shall pass.
You exactly.
Know, whether it's rocks or pastures, this too shall pass.
Yeah, and the Billy Graham disaster relief training, because my husband was a disaster relief Samaritan's Purse guy, program manager. You're either going through a storm, coming out of a storm, or headed into a storm.
Yeah,
and these are the trials of life. Mm-hmm. And God is with you the whole way. But death, because you just recently went through the death of your dad and on hospice.
Sweet daddy.
Yeah, your sweet daddy, and you were with him the whole way. But, you know, death, when it comes, he's the only one that he never will leave you or forsake you. And so he says, he promises in his word. Mm-hmm. Now, you were the one who was losing a father. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, hopefully you'll see him again in heaven.
Yeah.
And that is the eternal hope of every Christian.
That's right.
But that thing that God, that's promise, that he promises in his word, Mary, that he would never leave you or forsake you. Jesus was holding your hand the whole time you were holding dad's hand.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
That's right.
You're with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there is no season that can restore my soul. He restores my soul.
He does.
I think a lot of us sort of think that, you know, once I get out of school or once I get married or once I have, you know, once I'm done being pregnant, I have the baby, you know, at some point I'm going to feel better. I get the car I want. I get the job I want. It's going to restore my soul.
Or I lose 40 pounds.
Oh, yeah. And that's just never the case. There's never any season that restores our soul. It's a connection. It's intimacy with
him. It's a person.
That restores my soul. That's right.
And his name is Jesus. And he's the only one. And he is the good shepherd, Mary. And he is with us every step of the way. And when we mess up, he's there with his rod and his staff pulling us back in. And he will not leave us or forsake us.
And I love that part in verse 3 where he says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Aww.
If you've ever gone hiking on any kind of terrain, so I don't really rock climb or hike in a dangerous path very often, but I have gone. We went to Hanging Rock in North Carolina, and oh my goodness, some of that was, I mean, you really needed proper hiking shoes. And neither one of us, Paige nor I, had proper, I mean, I could have used a pair of cleats or something and some poles. It was really a little bit treacherous going up and going down. In fact, I had, I fell coming down. I just knew that I broke my leg.
It was slick?
Oh, it was really scary. It was really slick and dangerous. And I, when I read this, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's what I think David's talking about. Like I'm used to going to an established parks and rec, you know, site where there's a trail marked, go here. You know, the tree has a little splotch of blue paint on it or something, or there's a marker and it tells you exactly where to go. That's what Jesus does. But remember, David didn't have any of that. He only had Jesus. He only had the Lord picking out his path. And sometimes it's not for us so much a physical path. I mean, I will say that he directed me into a church fellowship that's healthy, and I feel like that's what he's done to lead me in path of righteousness.
And he gave you the Pregnancy Care Center. He gave us the podcast. He's given us a job.
He does lead me in those paths. Sometimes you can't avoid walking through the world.
That's true.
And, you know, so... every once in a while, I have a season, I have a situation where I have to be around people who I don't know what their, you know, faith background is, but they're just not safe people to me. They don't have my best interest at heart.
Oh, sure.
Nothing but sticks and stones comes out their mouth. It's rough and it's painful. And I feel like, you know, when I look back to the time that I'm thinking of right now, he walks me through in that dangerous place, right?
Yeah.
And how I can be upright in that situation, right?
Yeah, right.
So I don't have any sticks or stones. I can be a woman of God, and I can be an ambassador of Christ with my shoes, my gospel shoes of peace.
That's
right?
Good. That's good.
And so, for His name's sake, because I'm the ambassador of Him, I'm the representative of Him. So, you know, if I sink to the lowest level. Ooh, I think I'm preaching to myself right now.
We're preaching to the choir.
This, you know, I don't need to sink to that other person's level. I need to be an ambassador of Christ, who is the Prince of Peace.
And you know, you were walking through the valley of the shadow of death with your dad, and you didn't fear any evil.
Right.
You knew that God was going to take care of you.
I felt his presence. Yeah. With you. Oh, I felt it was so rich. It was so rich. And I mean, it wasn't a good time, but it was a sweet, sacred time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't think of a rod or a staff as being comforting, but I do thank God that, you know, once upon a time I had no moral compass. I had no idea who the Lord is. I had no idea who is Yahweh, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that Jesus says, the Father and I are one. And so, you know, I had no idea about any of that. But now today, that's really what that means to me, is that his direction, his word, to me, his word is his rod and staff, right?
It is.
He's gonna keep me out of the ditch, right? And it's a comfort. I don't want to be in the ditch.
I don't want to be in the ditch
of
either.
My own best thinking.
Yeah, we say keep it, stay in your own lane and mm-hmm. keep it between the dishes. You know, mm-hmm. that's life because you don't want to fall either way. He keeps us. He keeps us. It's only him, because if I followed my own emotional.
Oh, no.
If I did, I would be in a world of hurt.
That is so ugly. Not if, but when I do that. That is so... And thankfully, those little binges
emotions
are getting shorter and shorter. But my pastor has said that feelings make great servants and terrible masters.
Absolutely.
I can't run my life off of my feelings because they're not reliable.
And so many people do, and they wind up in the ditch.
Yeah.
Or they fall off the mountain.
Evidence for that.
They fall off the mountain, go boom, and
they're
dead.
Don't write anything when you're upset, and don't throw anything away when you're upset.
Mm. And don't talk sometimes mm-hmm. when you're upset, because the words mm-hmm. that come out of your mouth will be like, kill the person.
Oh, yeah. There is a Roman centurion inside of me. It's not pretty. I heard a woman say one time, I need that crime scene tape that they put around, that yellow tape. She said, I need that wrapped around my head sometimes. I relate.
Yeah, because it is.
But his word never fails.
That's
his
right.
His word will always lead me in paths of righteousness.
True.
For his name's sake, you know, like, and for my good, you know, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
I can't lose following his scripture. So we walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes it looks like it's hopeless. Sometimes it looks like the world is against me and I'm completely alone. But if I read scripture, I can, like in this psalm, I'm not alone. I am protected and loved. He is providing for me. And there, I have no reason to fear because he is with me at all times. He's leading. Yeah. He's leading and feeding me.
I love that also. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Mm-hmm. It's like God blesses you in the midst of all, if your enemies all around you, he's mm-hmm. going to let your light shine eventually. If you hang with Jesus, if you mm-hmm. keep holding on to his hand, keep that intimacy, he's gonna do that. And it says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over.
Yeah.
You know, they say they would anoint sheep with, put some oil on it because the flies couldn't get to them.
To protect
the sheep. And also, there's another analogy I heard in the Middle East, in the ancient Middle East or whenever, they used to have a lot of, the Jewish people had a lot of feasts, and part of the culture was to anoint with a fragrant oil mm-hmm. each guest who came in.
Oh, so beautiful.
It was kind of a blessing, you know?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, usually in scripture, anointing oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit.
Right, yeah. Right. And when Samuel anointed David king, it was a horn of holy oil that he dripped all over him. Mm-hmm. And that was the way he anointed him. Of course, it was also the Spirit of the living God that came on David. But the outward expression was the anointing of oil. And there are many scriptures that refer to oil, even in Psalm 133. The beautiful, let me get that, Mary, if you want to do that one. 133, there's a reference to oil that's beautiful.
Yes, I was just pulling it up. Okay, do it. Oh my gosh, that's so crazy. We're on the same page.
That's so good.
Yeah, this is Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And that, so you're right, like it's the Holy Spirit and yeah. it's unity.
Yeah.
It's the unity of the church, of the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, and he says, in the presence of my enemies, you anoint me with your Spirit and yeah. unity.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can be a force of unity and reconciliation in the presence of my enemies. It's so beautiful.
That is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, oh my goodness, there's another one that comes to mind. It says in James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. I had a friend of mine, my friend Jane, her sister had leukemia. And Janice, the mother of Louise when she was 11 years old, or thereabouts, wanted to get a pastor to anoint her with oil and pray over her. And the pastor who did anoint her with oil, and they prayed over her, and she was healed.
Mm.
And many people have used anointing oil. So oil is very precious, even in Psalm 23.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think the cup running over is coming, it's running over with blessings.
Yeah. It's joy in my life despite my circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes, eventually, if we cling to Jesus, our circumstances turn around too.
That's right.
Because he's the one who changes our hearts or changes the situation. Situations always yeah. change.
It's not prosperity gospel. It's, I'm with you no matter what happens, Lord, and he will, you know, and I trust your decisions for my life.
God anoints us with his oil of joy. And what prosperity to me is peace and joy and love, joy, and peace. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's prosperity to yeah. me. Is what is the kingdom of God? It's
love,
peace, joy and righteousness peace, and the Holy Spirit.
Patience,
yeah.
Kindness, yeah, goodness,
mm-hmm.
faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Exactly. And that Galatians, is the fruit of Galatians mm-hmm. 5, is that the, fruit, the fruit of the Spirit.
That's right. One Spirit, one fruit. So I tell people it's one fruit and it's a matter of maturity.
Yes.
So you want to think of a cluster of grapes, and you know how you go to the store and you get the best, most luscious grapes, but some of those grapes on there are going to be a little bit small. Well, if they stay connected to the vine. Now, these grapes got picked and sent to the store,
uh-huh.
but if they stay connected to the vine,
uh-huh.
that last little grape will mature.
Exactly.
A lot of us are waiting on patience and self-control.
If we stay connected to the vine,
yeah. He is faithful.
What I'm saying is, yeah. If we put God, prosperity is so important, but it's peace.
It's prosperity of spirit, right?
Yeah.
It's prosperity of spirit and its integrity. It's being who, it's growing into the likeness of Jesus. That's what real prosperity is.
Yeah.
Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And again, that I don't think that means what the world thinks it means. I think it means, you know, that I'm going to have a relationship with him.
Exactly.
I'm the daughter of the King of Kings. All the day of my life, I'm going to be reconciled and welcome at his table and loved. And so I love that scene. It's a famous Life magazine scene where JFK is in the Oval Office, right? Mm-hmm. And his son, John Jr., right, is playing underneath the desk at his daddy's feet.
I've seen that picture. It's beautiful. It's very famous.
And that's a picture of us. We are family. We are daughters, sons and daughters of the King of Kings. But we have access. We have unlimited access to him.
It's crazy good.
We don't have to go there. We don't have to go to a church to talk to him. We don't need a priest to talk to him. I don't have to wear pantyhose and heels. You know, that was the thing in the 70s. Oh my gosh, I couldn't wait to get home from church and take off my pantyhose and, you know, the shoes that pinched my feet. When you wake up, as soon as you open your eyes in your pajamas or your skivvies, whatever you've got, you know, we can lay in the bed on our backs and look up to him. We can roll out onto our knees and close our eyes. We can talk to him driving anywhere we want to. We can talk to him.
Yeah, but that's right. Any bodily position, I do hear the Lord pretty clearly when I get on my knees, but I don't do it frequently, but he does. It's bowing in your heart that matters. Just like circumcision for the Jewish people, have a circumcised heart,
right?
Have bow in your heart, be humble before him in your heart. And you know what, Mary, nobody really knows how you stand before the Lord except you and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have an outward display of religiosity.
Oh, yeah. We've seen those famous religious leaders that some of them, you know, I'm thinking of one in particular right now who he really shaped my life and he marked us. You know, he was an amazing apologetist and he wrote books. He debated atheists. He gifted. Just an amazing, amazing person. And then at the last minute, in the last hour, you find out
he had that area.
There's secret sin and idolatry of, you know, this horrible thing, and which was not how God had commanded any of us to live. And so, you know, we don't put our trust in men. We put our trust in God alone.
Exactly. Because
in Christ alone.
Exactly.
Like that him.
And I've done pastor idolatry too, where I just exalted a human being, a pastor. I think you had the right relationship with your pastor, Gary.
Well, I love my pastor.
Right.
Yes.
But I didn't. I mean, I love my pastor, but I would run to him maybe before God. Let me just say that. And what I'm saying is, I don't care who the person is. They have feet of clay.
They're not human beings. Everybody's human beings.
And it's not a matter of if they will fail you, it's when, usually. But God will never fail you.
I haven't loved Gary Combs my whole life. It's a hilarious story, and he'll tell it to you, you know. But we'll save some of that for another day. But you know, there have been times when I didn't get my way and I thought, you know, you don't know what you're doing. And, you know, when he rearranged the whole structure of when we were going to worship, when we would meet together, how things were going to be. And my kids were with me during the week and with their dad on the weekend. And he eliminated the Wednesday night service. And I thought, what? What are you doing? And he said, we're going to have small groups. We're going to, just as it says in scripture, it says they were in the habit of meeting in temple courts and from house to house. And we started doing house to house. So we had community group or small group.
I love small groups.
Yes. It's like, hey, he actually does know what he's talking about.
That, you
know,
great.
I didn't start out there. And I thought, what are you doing? And, you know, I've said the same words to God Almighty. What are you doing? This isn't okay.
Yeah.
And in that moment, no, I didn't like him. I didn't like him. I didn't love him. I didn't want to sit next to him.
You were mad.
And he put me in his small group, and I had to be in his small group. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's where I learned to stay at the table. And God saved my life because I had been running away from conflict my whole life. And he says, this is the Lord, not Gary Combs. He said, hey, I know what I'm doing here. This is your small group. And you know what? I love Gary Combs. He is my family, and he'll always be my pastor, and he'll always be my family no matter where I live. No matter what church is my home church, he's my pastor and he's my family because I learned to stay at the table, because I got a taste of agape. Yeah.
Yeah. And he is rightly related to the Lord. And really shone out. He has a beautiful marriage and children.
He
puts God first.
He puts
family.
His wife and
second.
Then kids.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then his mission, which is the rest of us.
Yeah. And that's hard to do. And a lot of pastors don't get it right.
Yeah.
And they put their church, their job ahead of their family. And then they lose their family sometimes.
And the church following.
Yeah.
So we can be sure that if Jesus is our good shepherd, we can be certain that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, no matter what season we're in. There's always good in our life, even if things are hard and painful, even if things are twisted. If he is in our lives, there's always something good in our life because we've got that intimacy with him and we've got mercy. His mercy is new every morning. And
I love that.
And we can be convinced, we can know that we know that we know that when we close our eyes in this world, that we will open our eyes to his face in the next. Yeah.
Yeah.
That I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Oh my goodness. That
not even death.
Yeah. Oh, that is so good, Mary, because you know what? This life is so short compared to eternity. It's like a split second. The Bible says we're like a flower fading in the grass. We're like a vapor. This life is so very short compared to eternity. It's like a split second. Mm-hmm. I always told my kids that. So do right in this life. Follow Jesus because he's the only one that can be the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one that can lead you into the paths of righteousness.
Yes.
He's the only one that just can prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies.
That's right.
And he does anoint your head with oil, and your cup does run over with blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be little things, but he's Lord over the big and the small, over the giant problems and the little tiny things. He's sovereign, but he loves us in such miraculous ways that just communicate to you personally, individually, that nobody will know except you and him what special thing he did for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I read through the Bible in a year, every year, for maybe, I don't know, 15 or 16 years now. And it's a gift. That's one of the gifts that Gary Combs gave me is he said, you eat every day. You need to read scripture every day. This is your food. This is your spiritual food. He said, don't eat once a week. And so I recently was really beating myself up a little bit over not being a good enough daughter to my dad and missing out on so much that had been available to me that as, you know, a teenager, I wanted different things. You know, I wanted to be with my friends and I had different values and, you know, like a lot of teenagers and mine sort of went on and on for a longer time than some people. And I was not close to my family for my teens and my 20s. And then, you know, thankfully things changed. And anyway, I was reading because of that Bible plan. I was reading the book of Philemon. It's only one chapter. Paul is writing to someone who his slave ran away to Paul. And in that time when he had Onesimus was with Paul, he became a Christ follower. And Paul was a spiritual father to this Onesimus. Paul says, he's telling Philemon, he's sending Onesimus back. He says, I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. And I just heard the Lord speaking to me that, you know, I had a season like Onesimus where I really wasn't much useful, where I really wasn't of much use to hardly anybody. But now, you know, we get a second life in Christ.
Absolutely.
And now, because of Christ, I can be of use to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I got so much hope from Paul and from the Lord in that passage that not to despair, but to be encouraged that all things are possible through God.
That's right.
He can take the least of us and do something with us. And so, you know, we're reading in Psalm 23 that, you know, all of the days of my life, I'm going to be with him and live a life of overcoming, of a cup that runneth over, right? And that was never possible to me before.
Well, without Jesus, it's not possible to anybody.
Right. He can make a way. He can make a way through mental illness or alcoholism or idolatry or, you know, all of the things that the world trips us up with.
Yeah.
He overcomes.
Yeah. And he is the good shepherd who sacrificed his life for the sheep. We're his sheep.
Yeah. I think of him, you know, when I know a lot of us have seen that painting where Jesus is a shepherd and he's carrying that sheep up on his shoulders,
love
right?
Love that, yeah.
And like I said, you know, Israel is a rocky land and, you know, it's easy to get hurt on those rocks, but he lifts us up, you know, and he carries us through.
Mm. Oh, so good. And, you know, yeah, there was a time you said, well, about the footprints in the sand.
Oh, yeah, that beautiful.
Yeah, and said, well, here I am alone, and then you're with me, but then there's
only one set
of footprints. He's, that's when I was carrying you.
That's right.
And he has carried us, Mary, both of us.
Yes. Yeah, he's carrying us.
He loves us so much. It's so amazing. We can't even understand the depths of
That's
his
right.
love, the width, the depth. It's just blows you away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
His wild, crazy love.
It's rich.
It's extravagant.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have really been blessed reading Psalm 23 with you.
Me too, Mary.
And listener, we're so grateful for you. We're praying for you. If you have made a decision to follow Christ, we want to hear from you. If you have any other big decisions to recommit your life or anything you're struggling with or just want to share, we'd love to hear from you. You can find our email on the website or in the notes. And we look forward to hearing from you. We're coming up on Christmas season, and we're going to be celebrating the birth of our Savior.
Yay. And, oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
It is.
It's blow your horns exciting. It's
yeah, it's roll out the red
carpet. Heavenly host exciting. Yeah,
jingle bells all the way too.
Yeah, so come back. And we're going to celebrate this one who broke time in two.
So good. So good.
Thanks, Robin, for being here with me today.
Thanks, Mary. I've loved it. And thanks, listener, for being there with us. We love you, too.
Thanks for tuning in to the Word Sower podcast. We're grateful for you and your interest in knowing God and His Scripture. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can have one starting today. Right now, right where you are, pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I want to turn from my sins, living life my own way, and I want you to decide what my life should be. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. Come into my heart and life to be my Lord and Savior. Your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Make me new and guide me. Your will be done. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are a new person in Jesus. We would love to hear from you and help you know what next steps to take. You can reach us at wordsowerpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to the next time we're together when we will open up the Word of God and share how it has changed our lives with you.